So our Dharma talk this evening will be given by Boundless Way Senior Dharma Teacher Jan Seymour Ford. We're so happy to have you with us tonight.
So in these talks, we're thinking about sitting with the koan, a koan that has been very important in my practice. And for me, that would definitely be Mu, which is the first one I ever sat with. It's the first one most of us ever sit with. This was some time ago, maybe 20 years plus. My teacher at the time, John Tarrant, gave me Mu. I sat with it. Then I moved to Wisconsin, and I stopped going to Sesshin. So I was still kind of sitting with it half-heartedly for another 4 or 5 years. Then I moved back closer to the West Coast and started attending the Sesshin in Northern California again. And suddenly Mu started to really come alive in my practice. But I was having a really hard time with it. It really brought up all the demons in my life and intensified them. This was especially true in when I went to Sesshin. So, you know, we all got our demons. And mine happened to be fearfulness, worried that I'm inferior, defective, unlovable, unloved. You know, everything I do and say is wrong. You know, maybe some of you recognize those demons. They get around. These thoughts and feelings... Oh, and sometimes in Boundless Way we call them stories, and I think that's great. I was really telling myself these stories, and I got pretty wretched, especially at Sesshin. At its worst, and this is something that happened all through my life, at worst I felt like there was a dragon's claw squeezing my heart, and it would get really, really tight and painful. But, so I was sitting with Mu, and something very interesting happened. And I think maybe there's some affinity or kinship between the stories in my head, you know, bad, 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 stupid, stupid, stupid. And Mu was like, no, no, no. Something clicked. And at some point I thought, well, why don't I try this? When these feelings and stories kind of... sneak up behind me. That's really like the physical sensation I had, that something was coming up behind me to devour me. And all my life, well, I must escape. I said, well, what if I try this? What if instead I turn around and just breathe it in with Mu and see what happens? And it was actually kind of extraordinary because the feelings didn't disappear, but they became much more diffuse. And that was a very powerful experience for me. That dragon's claw is still there, but it just doesn't have the talons that it used to have. The stories still sneak up behind me, but they're part of my practice. They're part of me. They're part of the air I breathe in and out. So this koan, the koan of... The practice of sitting with this koan really has changed me, changed my life and my practice. And here are some of the things I've learned from it. This practice does transform us, but we don't really get to be different. I don't know if anyone else does this, but I'd always hope that, wow, if I get enlightened, you know, I'll be somebody else. Maybe I'll be a booming extrovert. Wouldn't that be cool? But, you know, you are who you are. I am who I am. And what has changed is I don't have to continue creating suffering for myself by being dissatisfied with who I am. And that's really a relief. There's something very frantic and effortful about always trying to shore up the places where I don't match what I think I'm supposed to be. It's exhausting. I still catch myself doing it all the time, and it's a relief to just breathe and stop. Mu has taught me to be at home with not knowing. You know, I think we probably all crave peace and serenity, but all we get is not knowing. I think that's what we get. But, you know, it's a really warm and dynamic place to be. I've always kind of been an awkward, ill-at-ease person, and I craved a place or a peace where I thought those feelings wouldn't be there. But my practice has taught me that there's a great peace in being at ease with being ill at ease. All those years I was sitting with Mu and feeling like I needed to work harder and understand it and get it. But as this practice often does, it played a trick on me, because I don't think we ever get it. Even the imagery is of, you know, some grasping, holding permanence. We don't get that. The only getting, I think, is we have to get out of our own way. We have to get out of our practices' way. And there is no effort, there is no accomplishment that our effort is going to let us hold. So, that's what I've learned from this amazing Mu Koan, which that's really the same as saying, this is what I've learned from my practice. I don't really think it even matters whether we play with koans or not. I think this practice calls us to meet it with sincerity and humility, humbleness, and that sincerity seems to meet us and change us. Thank you.
So I invite you to sit comfortably, and we'll have our Dharma dialogue.
So I loved what you said about get out of my practice's way. So that's such a powerful way of putting it. And something that I've been working on this Angha. You know, I think a lot of the talks and the that people have been giving are just really pointing to that, you know, that just let the practice do the work and just come and sit down and walk and bow and eat and... You know, every little thing, just do it. You know? So, and you put it so succinctly, I'll remember the phrase, like a Wado, you know. So thank you. It's very nice.
I think our practice is really none of our business.
Yeah. So, there's another one.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine a Jan Seymour Ford, a booming ex. I don't think I want to know. I liked, you know, the comment about, yeah, not sure if it really matters if we study koans or not. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I feel like through koan practice, there's movement, but it has, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like coming back to confronting myself over and over again. And I notice that I have similar responses when I get stuck. And a lot of it is, you know, this one response is that, you know, I don't really care about these koans anyway. what's the point? So it's interesting to see that, and, you know, because I do, I think I'm like, well, why am I doing these koans? I mean, you know, for me personally, I think they have been helpful, but it has, like you said, kind of brought me back to kind of where I was to begin with. Maybe it's showed me that somehow. But I still wonder, you know, as I move through, there's still some doubt, but then there's some faith that, you know, well, they keep giving them to me.
Well, if you've got, you know, doubt and faith, a little determination,
yeah, you'll be right.
Yeah. That's all you need, right? But I think it's interesting what you say about the repetitive nature. You know, that we can begin to learn about ourselves by what comes up again and again. You know, you go to retreat, and if you're working with Mu, or if you're just sitting with your breath, you can begin to get familiar. Oh, I go to the place where, well, I don't care anyway. or I go to the place that, oh, I'm such a miserable person. You know, whatever, to begin to see that repetitive pattern is quite a fierce kind of gift.
I mean, yeah.
It's quite embarrassing, but creates some opportunity there.
Yeah, you know, it's it is strange to you know, to kind of see that pattern, you know, and then it's like, well, who's running this ship, you know?
You know, that who's running the ship is exactly the image that's been going through my mind.
Do you say who's running the shit?
Who's running the
shit? Oh, okay.
Sometimes that's me. But, you know, often it feels like we're the captain on the bridge of some ship somewhere, kind of like working the wheel and calling the engine room for more speed, and there's no connection.
Yeah, that's right.
there's a crew down that's running everything.
They're playing cards down there.
They're generally doing a really good job. Once in a while, they humor us. They humor me by kind of going, oh, yeah. Okay. He wants full steam ahead. We should give it to him. It's like, oh yeah, but this time we'll go to starboard instead of port. You know, it's and I sit up there on the bridge, thinking that I'm really in control, and thank God there's this proletarian crew down there that's actually running things because they seem to know what they're doing.
Jim, that was perfect for me right now. Thank you. Just like driving up here in the last like day and a half of being here has been the kind of theme of this whole thing has been like I had no idea why I do this. I love it, and I've been doing it my whole adult life, and I have no idea why I do it. And try not to write a good story about why. You know, something that sounds good and convinces me, okay, I got that figured out. This is why I do it. Because that makes me feel better. I'm not a fan of not knowing. And so I like that, like it's none of my business. Just show up and do it and leave it alone. So thank you.
Thank you, Jan. That was lovely. I was particularly struck when you said that you've learned that there is truly transformation, but that doesn't mean that we get to be somebody else. That still the same old me, yeah. And just a little a bit more comfortable with being that person that we are. It's really a huge thing. You know, spend all your time running away from who you are. It's such a futile effort. and one that I know so well. Thank you.
I love the line about the possibility about being comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow just seems so direct and such a different direction from if I work hard enough, I'll change. That it has that kind of both self-acceptance, so then I can get out of the the self-improvement business and just, all right, this is me. Sometimes I feel like this. And then it's just how I sometimes feel, not the terrible thing that's wrong with me. Yeah, so thank you.
You spoke to something I've also experienced, which is the way a koan, sometimes you have it for a very long time, and that idea that though you weren't actively sitting with it, it was like in your backpack or something,
yeah.
Or you know, tucked down in a pocket like a $20 bill you forgot about sometimes or something. And just how, you know, then some extended period of time later, not having the opportunity to practice or whatever it is, something will happen in life, and then it's like, whoop! Oh, that's what that means. Or something like that. So I do think they have some power if we keep them nearby.
I've had the experience, and I felt like you were pointing to it a little bit, of keeping it nearby, and it starts to come up unexpectedly, but I'm not actually, it goes back to the ship. No, really, it's dangerous waters here. The koan starts to do me, you know,
right.
that it's
right.
Really absolutely not in my control. And I love when that happens.
Yeah.
And actually, this Ango has been like that a lot, because we've talked about so many different koans and favorite koans, and I'm just so impressed with what arises from my past of working with them, and what's fresh and new. And I was so delighted that you did Mu, because you know, that is the one we start with. And it ripples through my life. I'm not done with Mu yet. And I'm just always happy to hear people's views of Mu. Thanks for that reminder, Chris. Yeah, Jim.
Well, let's sit for a few more breaths and then move on to